This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Warland. And we do the show thanks to our mates at Paddy's Markets. And talking about legends, we're about to talk to this one.
If we were inducting Dead Set Legends into the Dead Set Legend Hall of Fame, this guy would have his own parking spot right out the front. He's the most successful Test cricket captain ever. Australian of the Year. He won World Cups, he won the Ashes, and set records for, well, just winning. He makes guys that win a lot look like losers. And now you can throw professional photographer into the mix with a brand new book called Capturing Cricket, Steve Waugh in India. Oh, damn, I gave away his name. Please welcome Dead Set Legend, Steve Waugh.
Yeah, welcome to Steve Waugh. How are you this morning, Steve?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, guys.
Mate, great to hear from you. What about this book, over 200 photographs by you, only available at stevewaugh.com.au. I know how much you love India. I love talking to you about that particular country. Tell us what the book's all about.
Yeah, look, mate, really, it sort of goes back to my first tour back in 1986, 34 years ago, where I landed in Bombay from western suburbs of Sydney and thought I was on another planet, really. the different smells, sights, sounds, and just everything was happening outside the bus window. There was traffic crisscrossing, not staying in the lanes, no one stopped at red lights, animals, people on the streets, and I just saw all these games of cricket everywhere. Kids were playing in the alleyways, on the streets, on the back blocks, in front of the mountains, on the beaches, and I just couldn't really get it and capture, because as a cricketer, your position is such that people just swarm on top of you and want to just invade, I guess, your personal space, because they love cricket so much. And one day I promised myself to come back and try and capture what is the spirit of cricket through my eyes.
Steve, it's Jude Bolton speaking. I guess I find myself times going down the rabbit warren of watching those Robert Lindah cricket videos. And I found myself watching the Trinidad 95 third test where, you and Curtly Ambrose, and it was just this fiery contest, and you got to see the stare and you just were able to dig in. What was that those sort of moments like facing that, brutal West Indian offence or attack?
Huge challenge. A bit like this photography, mate. I was in at the deep end. I didn't know what I was doing with the photography, and it was a bit like taking Curtly on at times. He was just a world-class bowler and just tested everything out. Tested your mental strength and your physical strength and your technical skills and just everything. And, that moment in Trinidad, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was probably a little bit, amped up. The situation was pretty intense and a lot was on the line, and he was struggling a bit with his form, and we were in big trouble, so I just decided to try and put him off a bit. Have a few words for him, and I'm not sure it worked too well.
Steve, it's Wendell Saylor, mate. I certainly love the way that you played, but it must have been great coming through with your brother. Mark, obviously, you're different personalities, as everyone can tell. I know you both love the Bulldogs. How was that for you coming through?
Well, to tell you the truth, mate, my team was the Magpies growing up. Tommy Reid Onigus and Dorry and Boyd and Great O's to go to Lidcombe Oval and every week and watch them. And then I liked the Bulldogs, of course. That was my number one team, but yeah, look, growing up in western suburbs of Sydney, mate, there was four boys. We played sport non-stop, mate. It was tennis, cricket, soccer, table tennis, whatever sport we could play. It was just out you go. And I remember on holidays, mum and dad would say, just make sure you're home for dinner. And that's the way it was back in the 70s and 80s. It was a great lifestyle, big backyards, and it was a lot safer at that time. And kids could do that sort of stuff. And unfortunately, today it doesn't really happen as much. I think they're losing a lot by not engaging with their mates and getting outside and having a game. But we're lucky to grow up in that era.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and we love watching you play as well, Steve. Just getting back to the book and my love of India as well, as you were explaining that before, I knew exactly what you were talking about. Every one of your senses in that country is alive as soon as you get out of the plane, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure, mate. It's just it's like no other place, and it really does, get India blood. So after a while, you just want to go back and get some more of it, and you sort of fall in love with the place over and over again, and there's so much to see and so many different sites and places to visit. And with this book, we went to the beaches and the mountains and the cities. We just went everywhere. It was out in the desert. It was pretty amazing, the sights we saw, and having a game of cricket against the monks in front of the Himalayas is definitely one of the highlights of that trip. And you just never know what was around the next corner.
The closeness of a group when you're travelling like that. I mean, we always marvel at the dressing room and the interaction. There was two distinct groups in the Australian cricket team back then, the Julios and the Nerds. Can you talk us through the dynamics of that group?
Yeah, well, I reckon in your case, there's probably two Julios and one nerd. Where you're sitting there. So you sort of get the drift what it is. And one of those will be captain of the Julios.
Yeah.
I probably don't need to take too much more, but it was always good fun to know. We'd sort of be bagging each other and having a crack. And, you know, it was good. We went 10-pin bowling and go-karting and stuff like that, and really developed a team camaraderie and team spirit that it's probably a bit harder to do these days. They don't seem to be allowed to get out of the hotel as much, and there's always prying eyes. But when we were sort of touring, it was something really important to us to get together as a group and to have a bit of fun and to take the mickey out of each other, then get back on the job of playing cricket.
I said we saw with the great man Dean Jones. He's an innovator. He changed the game of cricket. Man, I heard you talk about him with the passion. Like, he was one of your favourite teammates to play with.
Yeah, am I talking to the captain of the Julios there, mate?
you are, mate.
Dean Jones. Yeah, he was great to play. I love playing with Dino. He's he was always so aggressive and positive and in the opposition's face, and when you batted with him, you know, running between the wickets, I loved it because we were both pretty quick between the wickets and would take him on. And it was, you know, he gave us that extra dimension, particularly one day cricket. I felt as if we had 12 players instead of 11, particularly at the MCG, where he was like the conductor of the orchestra. He was just in charge when he walked down the field, and he gave us that a really extra 10%. So, an underrated player in Australia, had a great record in both tests and one days. And I was lucky enough to be his roommate where he got that double century in the tie test in Madras, and that was, you know, one of the great test match innings by an Australian batsman.
I love the fact that Dino, when you spoke to him, Steve, would always seem to bring that Madras 210 into any sort of conversation.
Yeah.
You could say, gee, it's hot today. And he'd go, oh, not as hot as it was in Madras.
Yeah.
Did you notice that too?
He better spare a couple of hours. He'd talk you through every ball.
I love it. That's what I do.
Yeah. Well, I got a bit of a breather because when he got that 200, he was in hospital one night. So I was his roommate. So I had one night off.
I love that, just the fact that everyone, obviously the outpouring of love for him, and it got us thinking about a side of the Australian cricket team when we all loved you so much, and I think everyone knew every player. We had opinions on who should be batting three and four and who should open the bowling and, you know, that sort of stuff. I think we've lost a little bit of that, Steve. I don't quite know why.
Maybe. I think when we first started playing one-day cricket, it was pretty much the same test side. The test side played one-day cricket as well. There wasn't wasn't split up, so they didn't really, for a couple of years, realise that there was probably players more suited to one-day cricket than test cricket, but initially it was the same 11 or 12 players that played both forms of the game. So if people had a real connection, it probably wasn't as much cricket and probably not as many other options. I mean, you look at sport today and you can watch 100 different sports in a day, but back then there wasn't so many options. So I think people had probably more of a connection and knew the players probably a bit more closely.
I just walked past Greg Blewett. I'm over in the Adelaide studio today. And I said, you know, I'm just about to speak to Steve Ward. He said, you know, maybe bring up just his run out record in cricket.
I was like,
Bluey, what do you mean? Anyway, I did have a look at it. 31 run outs for yourself and 73 for your partners. I mean, what was that sort of like, Steve?
Oh,
you
know?
Wow.
That's a fair comment because people have analysed that. And I think in the end, I was responsible for about 25-30% of my fault. So I'm going to go back at Bluey and have a look at it. I did bat a lot with the tail enders in one-day cricket. And back when I first started playing, I guess Simon O'Donnell, myself, and those guys used to come in the last 5 hours, so it was sort of helter-skelter stuff. And that's probably one stat that maybe got misconstrued a bit. But, yeah, look, and Blue is a bit slow between wickets too. So
exactly.
He's too busy doing his hair and stuff.
Yeah. He's one of the Julios.
And I want to apologise on behalf of the nerds that one of the Julios would take you to such a place.
Exactly.
This is a friendly place to have a conversation,
Jeff. Always.
That's sort of the definition of the Julio too, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Look, the Spirit of Cricket India photographic exhibition, 70 of Steve's favourite shots from the book, opens on October 31 through January 11 at the 21 Oxford Street in Paddington. We'll put all these details up on the socials and on the webpage. Entry is by a gold coin donation to the Steve Waugh Foundation. We could talk to you forever about all the great work you're doing there too, Steve. And the ABC documentary, Tuesday, November 17 at 8:30, Capturing Cricket, Steve Waugh in India, will run Tuesday, November 17th at 8:30. Thank you so much for your time. You are a dead set legend, and thanks for everything you've done for Australian cricket and what you do now for everyone else through the Steve Waugh Foundation, Steve.
Thank you. Appreciate your support.
There you go. There's Steve Waugh on the Dead Set Legends. What an absolute cracker.